ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम् नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः इन् माण्डुक्य उपनिषत् थर्ड् चाप्टर् अद्वैत प्रकरणम् वि आर् इन् द कन्क्लूडिङ्ग् पार्ट् वि सा इन् द लास्ट् क्लास् फोर् obstacles in contemplation. Nididhyasanam. Especially when we use the yogic limbs of meditation for contemplation, and these obstacles are possible. Otherwise also these obstacles are possible. Even in simple meditation also obstacles possible. But in contemplation, these obstacles are inevitable, such as layaha, vikshepaha, kashayaha, and rasa aswadaha. Of course, you know very well, contemplation is not for any special experience to validate the Vedantic teaching. Definitely, contemplation will not give you any new knowledge. Contemplation is not even for any special experience. But contemplation is exclusively for the assimilation and ascertainment of what has been already clearly understood. This layaha is because of our own physical condition, the feeling sleepy or drowsiness naturally happens when we really focus on our understanding, the Vedantic teaching, and for which the solution was, even though Acharya does not give solution, the commentators give solution how to take care of the drowsiness we feel during the practice of contemplation. And the next problem, avikshepaha, we saw last class already. The vikshepaha is actually the mental agitation or the distractions. Even though you are very clear, you have clearly understood the teaching and you are trying to focus attention on the teaching, without your knowledge, the mind gets distracted by something else, or the mind is drawn towards something else. The distraction itself becomes an obstacle, and for which the reason is lack of adequate dispassion. The lack of adequate dispassion is because we have not really understood the limitations of everything else. So repeatedly focusing on or bringing to the mind the attention, the facts of how everything else in this world is impermanent, how nothing in the world is capable of giving us the real moksha or the happiness. And it's also lack of understanding of the moksha. Even though the whole Shravanam itself would have been possible only because of the interest in moksha. Even then, sometimes it is possible for us, you know, that not to have adequate dispassion. For repeatedly, anudarshana, we saw that already, repeatedly seeing the problems, repeatedly seeing the limitations, that how all these things, the janma, vyadhi, jara, dukkham, all these things are inevitable in this other objects, other worldly pursuits. by seeing them repeatedly, by understanding the limitations, naturally one can develop, discover dispassion. So the more you see the fact of limitations of everything, and more you can discover dispassion, the more you will be able to focus, the more you can avoid the distraction. The take care of this problem of this vikshepaha. And I said, you have to remember, if you want, you can go back to our Bhagavad Gita, Swamiji's home study, and beautifully you have to understand the explanation of the two words in the 6th chapter, where Krishna says, Vairagyena Abhyasena, isn't it? The only way of tackling this problem of distraction in terms of vikshepa, is by practice, by cons practice, abhyasaha. Abhyasaha means what? Repeatedly dwelling upon the nature of the reality. Repeated shravanam, repeatedly, in fact, it's sort of reenactment of the very class. Repeatedly listening to the teaching and dwelling upon the nature of the reality and seeing the satyutvam of the atma, that is abhyasa practice. And also the vairagyam as by developing this adequate dispassion. So how to develop dispassion, how to discover dispassion, and also how to do abhyasa, brahma abhyasa, that you have to, you can again go back and study in Gita also. And later on, we saw the kashayaha, the third problem also. The third problem called kashayaha, which is, freeing oneself from this problem of distraction without removing its cause. Sometimes you practice meditation, do something, you can really take care of your distraction. Very temporary, because the cause for the distraction in terms of lack of adequate dispassion is still there. The lingering desire, the craving for things is still underneath. Without knowledge, it is there in subconscious, and because of which, that is called what? The unresolved problem, still the cause for the cause because of which the distraction is there. That is called what? Kashaya. Kashaya also is possible. So we saw all these things in last class, all these problems. The last one we were discussing was Rasa Aswadaha. The Rasa Aswadaha, the word Aswadaha means taste, enjoyment. Rasaha means, literally means essence. So enjoyment of the essence means what? Enjoyment of pleasure, happiness here, in this context. Rasa Swadaha, tasting of the essence, is the literal meaning. But here, tasting, here it means what? Enjoyment of a certain degree of joy or pleasure, or experience of joy, pleasure, which can be experienced only during the practice of Nididhyasanam. When you are in contemplation, the object of your contemplation is Atmaswarupam. You dwell upon the nature of the Vedantic teaching. When you are dwelling upon the Vedantic teaching in terms of Atmaswarupam or Brahmaswarupam, then naturally, the no other object is an object of thought. Therefore, all the thoughts become resolved, objects also become resolved. If there is no thought in your mind, there cannot be an object. For you to have an object called mic in front of you, you must definitely have a thought pertaining to the object. The thought, mic thought must be there. Only then you can have mic object. Whatever thoughts you entertain there in the mind, those objects alone you can experience. Even closing your eyes also, whatever thoughts you have, those objects are there for you. Whether you physically perceive the object or not, externally, suppose whether you you have a laddu thought and outside you see the laddu or not, still you can have laddu thought and there can be a laddu, the object of thought laddu, which you experienced somewhere, still this can be there. Thought and the object can both be there, isn't it? So in contemplation, no object of thought is there, because attention of the mind is taken away from all the objects. Therefore, what happened? The thoughts are not there, therefore objects are also not there. You have to remember one thing, important thing is, whatever object, whatever thought is there, and that object of thought alone is there for you. In contemplation, the thoughts are taken away from the objects. Therefore, because the whole attention is held by the Vedantic teaching, Atma Swarupam is the object of your dwelling, thinking. Therefore, the thoughts are taken away, means objects are also not there. When the objects are not there, thoughts are not there, then there is only what? Only there is a non-dual experience possible. Isn't it? Now, in contemplation also, there is non-dual experience possible. That non-dual experience means what? Wherein no object is there, no thought is there. No thought means the thought pertaining to any other object is not there. Then what happens? That experience is what? Sukham. That sukham, the joy, the pleasure experienced during the contemplation also is a state of mind, condition of the mind. Sometimes, because it is very enjoyable, rejoiceful, no? We may get tempted, attracted towards the enjoyment of that pleasure, which experience of the samadhi. Samadhi experience happens to be an experience, it's a time-bound experiential pleasure, which is a manifestation of fraction of fullness, which is not fullness. Okay? It is possible for us to get engrossed in the enjoyment of that pleasure, which means you may forget that, you know, because be very careful there that we don't take that experience as the ultimate end. That experience also is what? We should remember this fact. This is also a condition of the mind obtaining during the practice of contemplation or meditation. Naturally, because all the thoughts are resolved in contemplation. In meditation or in contemplation, all the thoughts can be, as a result of meditation and contemplation, thoughts can be resolved. That is the idea, purpose of practicing meditation. That is not the ultimate purpose. Naturally, thoughts will resolve. If you keep on practicing meditation, and the object of meditation will hold your attention, in due course of time, practicing for a long time, whenever you sit in meditation, the thoughts will resolve. When thoughts resolve, even the essence, all thoughts will resolve means no objects. Which is again what? One can have non-dual experience. In non-dual experience, there is no pain. Like in sleep or in, there is no sukha necessary. The painlessness is a pleasure, and which is something enjoyable. One may get engrossed in the enjoyment of that pleasure one can have as a result of practicing meditation. Isn't it? But here also, and suppose if we get addicted to that enjoyment of pleasure you experience during the meditation, then naturally the mind will want more and more of that pleasure alone. Then more and more you will, the person may exclude himself, and the person may become unsocial, as a result of which, and even the person may like more and more quiet atmosphere. Anything which disturbs the enjoyment of that pleasure will irritate the person. The person will be irritated in such situations. Therefore, to avoid such things, one has to remember what? The rasaswada also has to be, this is a problem. We have to understand, even that experience will come and go. But what has to be remembered is, there is no happiness other than myself. There is no happiness, fullness other than the consciousness. And that consciousness is the actual substance, the only substance. The substance enjoying the substantiality is what? The awareness. The awareness alone is fullness. Awareness is of the nature of fullness, and I am that awareness. Awareness is Atma, Turiyam, Turiyatma. Awareness is Chaitanyam, Turiyam. The awareness is the Turiyatma, awareness is Brahman, and awareness is the Satyam, the truth, and awareness is Advaitam, the non-dual reality. This awareness is of the nature of fullness, the happiness, and I am that awareness. And not only I am awareness means what? Everything else other than everything else is also nothing but the awareness. Body is Atma. Mind is Atma, the sense organs are Atma, everything is Atma here, and I am Atma. What is there is only Atma, and I am, and that awareness alone is of the nature of fullness. So Sukham is my Swarupam, and this, the pleasure which I, you know, that experience which I have, actually is a state of mind. The state of condition of mind I experience during contemplation is what? Comes and goes. Sagantuka Sukham. It comes and goes. Experiential pleasure. By remembering this fact, reminding oneself of this fact, one can also get over this problem of rasa aswadaha, the obstacle in contemplation. This much I think we saw last class. Nasvadayet sukham tatra. Nissanga prajnaya bhavet. Nischalam nischarachittam.
Nischalam nischarachittam.
Eki kuryat prayatnatah.
Eki kuryat prayatnatah.
So, nasvadayet sukham tatra. Tatra means during contemplation. During contemplation, tatra sukham. Sukham means what here? The experiential pleasure. During contemplation, when all the thoughts resolve, there is only one thought will be there. What is that? Atmakara vrittihi or jnana vrittihi. The one thought is there. What is the thought? The thought for which object of the thought is one's own Swarupam. Atma Swarupam. Then, naturally, because the thoughts are all the, whenever all thoughts are resolved, there will be an experience of pleasure. That is why people like meditation. Understand? There is a certain, because the pains are forgotten, smallness is forgotten, everything is really, without studying Shastram also, if you simply practice meditation, now then when you put your, can put your thoughts to sleep easily. So here, whether even simple meditation also, you constantly practice for a length of time, and naturally you can have what? Experience of Sukham. Experience of Sukham means what? Experience of certain degree of joy. Our experience of pleasure. Sukham here means a pleasure. What is pleasure? Painlessness is pleasure. Why there is no pain? Because thoughts are resolved. Objects of thought are also not there. Thoughts are resolved. Thoughts are not there. objects of thoughts are also not there. For you, how? It is just as in sleep, what is there in sleep? In sleep, you have sukhavritti. Sukham is there. You experience sukham in sleep. What is sukham, if you ask? In sleep, you all experience sukham. That is what experience of pleasure. In sleep, there is experience of pleasure, which means there is no pain. Why? There are no thoughts. Thoughts are not there, objects are also not there. The external world is not there. External world of objects is not there. And the thought, because thoughts are not there, therefore there is no pain. Isn't it? When will be the pain, experience of pain, when is it possible? If there are thoughts, if there are, you know, the objects of thoughts, and the objects of thoughts can be what? No. You can have raga or dvesha. Either you can have liking for the objects or dislike for the objects, isn't it? Like or dislike. Desire, isn't it? Or for the object is possible. And one along with the dislike, now something else also will come. Then pain also is possible. So pain is not possible if there is no object. There is no raga or dvesha. Raga dveshas are not possible if there are no objects. Objects are not possible if there are no thoughts. Thoughts will not arise when when the attention is held by one given object. This is a secret. You know, attention of the mind is completely held by one object. Then all other thoughts will resolve. If other thoughts resolve, attention is not paid to any other object, means objects also will not be there. The objects are not there, then naturally ragadveshas are not possible. If ragadveshas are not possible, then pain also is not possible. When there is no pain, there is pleasure. This is the order you have to remember. Secret. That is why people like this. So here it happens even in simple. If one thing holds your attention, then you can call it what? It's not meditation. It is sort of meditation. Then you experience the pleasure. That is why we say there are so many objects of pleasure in the world. Because the given object, when it holds your attention, for example, television serial, you are watching. Even some people may not like it, maybe not be useful program, maybe useless program, but some people, if they like it, why people like things? Because that holds the attention. It's like any magazine for people of different interests. As a magazine, on sports, is very interesting for the person who likes sports, athletes. And for some people, science magazines are very interesting. Or are like books, even the novels. Reading, people who give the habit of reading, or a television program. Any one thing, people love it. They go and buy all the way. Why? Because it helps them what? To remain calm. Because attention is held by one object totally, then naturally that for length of time the other thoughts are not there. Other thoughts are not there, those objects concerned are also not there. Objects are not there, ragadveshas can be kept in check for some time. Then there won't be pain. How long? As long as attention is held by that given object. And also, you forget yourself also. In simple, enjoying simple objects of pleasures, you also forget yourself, your smallness also is forgotten. In sense of inadequacy is forgotten. Therefore, again, nothing which can trigger your pain. Therefore, that is how pleasure is experienced. So, the thoughts are resolved means ragadveshas are not there, because objects are not there. Therefore, ragadveshas are not possible. Therefore, pain also is not possible. Then there is pleasure. It happens in simple meditation also. But what to talk of contemplation, where the object of your thought is the very swarupam of the subject. And how do you know the swarupam of the subject? Because you have done quite, you know, lot of shravanam. Because you have done enough shravanam, and you have understood what the Atma swarupam, Brahma swarupam, you understood the Brahmatma aikyam, understood the oneness of the reality. Therefore, now you understand, having understood very clearly the nature of the reality as very swarupam, your own swarupam dwelling upon, means attention is held by the Vedantic teaching, means naturally all the thoughts resolve. When thoughts resolve, the objects are also not there for you, like in sleep. The objects are not there, there's no ragadveshas. Well, there is no pain, and there is a state of mind you experience, you have during contemplation or meditation is what? Experience of pleasure, experiential pleasure. It is a pleasure. Agandhaka sukham, condition of the mind, state of mind. And that pleasure also will go, isn't it? Attention is taken away. Even that is not the moksha, that is not enlightenment, that is not the aim, isn't it? Therefore, rasa aswadaha, that problem is there. Therefore, you will definitely experience that sukham during contemplation. But now Acharya says, be careful, don't get engrossed in the enjoyment of that pleasure. Okay, don't mistake that pleasure for happiness. Don't get engrossed there. So, engrossed there. Remind yourself, this sukham which I had during contemplation also is what? An experiential pleasure, which is not the swarupa sukham, but what? It is a agantaka sukham. It is a manifestation of what? My own fraction of my own swarupam, the fullness. So he says, that's what he reminds you here. Na aswadayet sukham. May one not enjoy that pleasure. What does it mean? May one not get tempted in enjoying that pleasure as the ultimate end, isn't it? We should be careful. Sukham tatra nissangaha. Say, may one be detached, may one not be attached even to that pleasure. Nissangaha, tatra nissangaha means one has to carefully develop detachment towards that pleasure also. One should not become dependent on that pleasure for one's happiness and peace. Because it's also not permanent. It's a state of mind. Any experience is a state of mind. State of mind means what? Subject to change. Any experience or any experience of any pleasure is only a state of mind which is subject to change. Therefore, it is only time bound. It is not permanent. Remembering this fact, may one not get attached to even that pleasure. Nissangaha tatra. And how to avoid that now? How not to get attached to that pleasure? How not to get attracted towards that pleasure? How not to get, how to be objected towards that pleasure also as experiential pleasure. He says, prajnaya bhavet, prajnaya. Prajnaya means only by repeatedly reminding oneself of the fact. What is the fact? Which one has understood. The fact you have understood through Shravanam, what is the fact? There is no happiness other than fullness. There is no fullness other than existence. There is no existence other than awareness. And there is no awareness other than myself. Understand? Which means what? I am fullness. I am happiness. I, the self, am happiness. I, the self, am awareness. And I, the awareness, am fullness. When you say, I, the awareness, am fullness, all that is here is also what? Only fullness. There's only Brahma, Atma. This one has to remember. You know, everything is what? There's only fullness. Nirevet, nirendirikkiran solanum. There's only the truth. This is the prajna, prajnaya bhavet. Isn't it? Prajnaya bhavet means what? Nisangaha prajnaya bhavet. Only by reminding yourself of the fact that you are happiness, you are fullness. And the happiness which you experience during contemplation is a state of mind which is only manifestation of your sorupam. It is not the pure, isn't it? Only fraction. Which means it's like saying, if you see yourself, your face reflected in the mirror, and you see my, because you don't see your face yourself, you can never see your face yourself. So you, and suddenly somebody, you look very beautiful. Suppose, imagine, somebody comes and tells you, no, your face looks so beautiful. Really? I don't know. But I can't see my face. That's the problem, isn't it? So other person shows the mirror in front of you. Look how beautiful your face looks. And you see your face in the mirror. What you see? A reflection of your face. My God! This, with the face seen in the mirror, looks so beautiful. And you fall in love with that face. And that is what, may you not do that. He says, understand? This is the problem, isn't it? The example will make it very clear. It is natural, because there is no way of you seeing your face. You have to see only your reflection. And then it's like the Shastra, the Guru shows the Shastra's words, and he says, come on, you see, this is the mirror, Shastra mirror, and you ask, see yourself, how beautiful you are. It's like, what now? Then, no, don't, I love that, I love it, I want to keep on, don't take the mirror away, I want to keep on seeing my face. No, why? It's so beautiful. I like it, very nice to see. No, don't take the mirror away. I want to keep on seeing. Somebody comes and removes the mirror. So you can't see the face. Again, you get irritated. It's called irritability. No? How you people become irritable? Because there's joy, isn't it? But here he says, then you have to remember, oh my God, that face I see in the mirror is only reflection of this original face, which is the original beauty. Isn't it? Which is the real? The real beauty is what? The real beauty is of the real face. This is only a reflection of this face. So once you know that, and may you not get attached to the face you see in the mirror. Instead, what should you remember? This is only a reflection of my own original face. I understand, this is my face, is the really beautiful face. Similarly here also, when you understand, when you in contemplation, it is natural for you, when all the thoughts are resolved, attention is held by the teaching, then the experience, what you experience is what? The state of the mind, which is a temporary pleasure, joy, and that is only experiential. Sukham is what? Manifest happiness. manifest fullness, the manifestation of fullness or happiness, don't mistake it for the real fullness. Why? Because then you are fullness. Then if you understand, I am fullness, I am of the surupam of fullness, happiness, and the, what experience and contemplation is what? Only reflection or manifestation of my own fullness. So, prajnaya nissangaha tatra bhavet. So, one, by reminding oneself of the fact of one's own surupam being fullness, may one not get attached to, one can avoid getting attached to that sukham. One experience during contemplation, and which is called what? Rasa aswadaha. You can't avoid rasa aswada, but you have to use your buddhi to not to get entangled there. So next thing he says, nischalam. When the mind becomes free from all these four obstacles, like layaha, vikshepaha, then rasaswada, vikshepaha, kashayaha, rasaswadaha, all these obstacles are now really taken care of, then mind becomes what? The mind becomes really nischalam. Nischalam means mind is in proper, when mind is in contemplation. Suppose then, when your attention is focused, understood with all these problems, you understood now. You take care of the layaha sleep, you take care of vikshepa, you take care of kashaya, you also take care of this rasaswada, and carefully you are dwelling upon the Atma Swarupam, the Vedantic teaching. Then what happens? Again, nischarat. Suppose if the mind happens to, again, attention happens to move somewhere, then what happened? Eki kuriyat prayatnataha. Consciously, no, eki kuriyat. Bring the attention back to the object of dwelling in terms of Vedantic teaching, back to your own swarupam. So, swarupa anusandhanam, isn't it? Bring attention back to the teaching. So, your own swarupam. Nischarat prayatnataha, no, consciously, by your own effort, eki kuriyat, again bring it back to the Atma. See that attention does not have too many things, only teaching, Vedantic teaching alone becomes your object of meditation. Vedantic teaching in terms of Atma Swarupam or Brahma Swarupam, the object of your meditation. Nischarat chittam. Nischarat chittam is what now? The mind which goes away, that mind, eki kuriyat. Again, bring it back only to Atma. Eki karana means focus the attention on only Atma is what? Eki karana in this context. Prayatnataha. So, with your own efforts. Krishna says in Gita also, yato yato nischarati, no? Tataha tataha niyamya etat. Whenever the attention goes away from the object of meditation, and bring it back to the object of meditation. And here the object of meditation is the very swarupam of the subject. Okay, now, when you practice that contemplation, have resolved these obstacles, remembering the fact, what happens, he says, yada naliyate chittam,
yada naliyate chittam,
nacha vikshipyate punaha,
nacha vikshipyate punaha,
aninganamanabhasam,
aninganamanabhasam,
nishpannam brahma tat,
यदा न लीयते चित्तम् न च विक्षिप्यते पुनः अनिङ्गनमनाभासम् निष्पन्नं ब्रह्म तत्तदा
यदा न लीयते चित्तम् When the mind does not fall asleep in contemplation, na liyate means what? When the mind does not na become drowsy during contemplation, it means the mind remains alert in contemplation. Then na cha vikshipyate punaha. The mind is also not distracted. Na vikshipyate, not distracted by any other objects also. When the mind is not distracted, when the mind is alert without falling asleep, which means when the mind overcomes, when mind is free from all these obstacles, natural obstacles, possible obstacles in contemplation. Which means mind has overcome all, mind is not anymore drowsy. Or when you sit for meditation, sit for contemplation, you are not feeling sleepy or you are not distracted and you are even free from kashaya. There is no, because the problem of lack of adequate dispassion also is not there anymore because you are adequately dispassionate. So you avoid the dispassion. The distractions, and also you are conscious of what now? The experience you have during contemplation is being only the time-bound manifestation of fraction of fullness, which is your swarupam. Also conscious of that. Okay, so here he mentioned it too. We have to include all the four here. Which means the first line implies when the mind is no more afflicted by the obstacles, possible obstacles, no? In terms of layaha, vikshepaha, kashayaha, rasaswadaha. And all these problems are not there. Then what happens? You have done shravanam, you have done mananam, you are clear about the teach, you have clear understanding of all that is there is only Brahma, Atma, and you are Atma. There's everything else is also what? Atma. There's no second thing other than Turiya Chaitanyam. That is very clear, and you're focusing on that fact. We have to understood that in contemplation, then what happens as a result? That's what's said in the second sentence. Aninganam anabhasam. The aninganam anabhasam, the two words describe the condition of the mind during the contemplation, now without the obstacles. What will be the condition of the mind during contemplation, now without the obstacles? Obstacles are not there. Obstacles possible in contemplation are not there. And teaching is clear. Mind is what now? Focused. And what is the condition of the mind? He says, aninganam. Inganam means chalam. Aningana means achalam. Achala means what? No, it is free from fluctuations. Fluctuation free, agitation free, steady mind. So that implies, what does aningram imply? Which means there obtains only one thought. Aninganam literally means free from fluctuations, free from agitations. Agitation free, fluctuation free, steady mind is there means what it implies is there is only one vrittihi, not too many vrittis. In proper contemplation, obstacle free contemplation, how many thoughts should be there? Should thought be there or not? Let me tell you, ask you. In contemplation, should the thought be there or not?
Yes.
If you say there is not any thought
one
at
thought.
All,
one
isn't it? In waking, you know how many thoughts you have. In dream, you know how thoughts are there. And in deep sleep state, how there are two thoughts, sukha-vritti, ajnana-vritti. In samadhi, you know, there's one. Samadhi also, you have one thought. Isn't it? Even simple meditation also, samadhi must be, you have one thought, sukha-vritti must be there. But in contemplation, there must be one thought. Why? Because there's what now? The object of your thought is what? Not an object. Object of the thought is not an object. But the object of the thought is not even the subject. But object of thought is the truth of the subject. Swarupam of the very meditator is the object of thought. Therefore, the thought which obtains during contemplation can be said to be what now? Anatma vritti vyatirikta atma swarupa vritti reka bhavati. Anatma vritti vyatirikta atma vrittihi means the thought for which the only thought having the Atma Swarupa as object to the exclusion of all the thoughts pertaining to Anatma. Anatma Vritti means what now? There is no Anatma Vritti. There are no thoughts for which Anatma are the objects. Isn't it? See, there are only two things, isn't it? Atma, Anatma. Other than Atma, everything else is what? Anatma. If only Atma Vritti is there, what now? Atma Vritti means Atma is the only object of focus. And Anatma Vritti is not there. Anatma Vrittis have become what? Resolved. By practice, you know? Because repeatedly dwell upon the fact to understand, no, the Vedantic teaching, therefore slowly think, all repeatedly dwelling upon that, all the thoughts resolved. So all, no other thought is there. There means not there means what? Thoughts are resolved. Then what thought is there? Isn't it? Atma Swarupa Vritti alone is there. Because without the vritti, dwelling is not possible, isn't it? Therefore, when you say Atma Swarupa Vritti alone is there, your vyatirikta means, so the exclusion of all the thoughts, only one thought is there, the thought is of, the thought for which object is Atma itself. That is what is implied by this word Aninganam. The fluctuation-free mind. Fluctuation-free mind means what? No fluctuation means no thoughts. No thoughts. If thoughts are not there means, objects also will not be there. Isn't it? So, abhasaha means reflection. Or manifestation. But here, abhasaha implies what? There are no reflections means there are no objects, also no vrittis. If there is ice cream, thought is not there in my mind, there cannot be object ice cream. It is not in the mind, not outside also. Sometimes outside it may not be there, it will be sitting in my mind still. See, all the objects of pleasure, you can see it. There's a beautiful bunch of flowers. I see it now. There is a thought, I also object outside. And then when I go get back home, leaving the bunch here, thought can be there. I can still what now? Along with the object of thought, oh, Sunitamma brought a beautiful bunch of today, the bunch of flowers, and still that those flowers can be in the form of a thought again. Thought and the object of thought also can be there in the mind itself. Is it clear? It's called thoughts must be there for the concerned objects to be there. And here the attention is focused only on Vedantic teaching. You know, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Turiya Chaitanyamasmi, repeatedly dwell upon the fact which you have clearly understood. Then what happens? All the thoughts resolve. Not having any other thought other than the, isn't it? The thought of the teaching is called, is implied by the word aninganam. There's a continuous flow of thought, but for all the thought, object of thought is what? The teaching, isn't it? Then anabhasa, because the thoughts are not there, the objects are also not there. So not having the objects is implied by the word anabhasaha. Aninganam, therefore anabhasaha. It's quite very subtle lesson this is. Aninganam, therefore anabhasaha. He beautifully developed it. Aninganam, therefore anabhasaha. How to understand that? You have to remember again, you don't sleep. Thoughts are not there, therefore, world also is not there. Not only this gross world, even subtle form also the world is not there. In sleep, thoughts are not there means, there is neither subtle objects nor gross objects. No objects. Why? Because no thoughts. So aninganam anabhasam. How? Because attention is completely held by one object, which is not an object, which is one's own swarupam. We only understood through the teaching. So here anabhasam, then what happens that time? Nishpannam brahma tat. Then the mind becomes Brahman itself. This will be explained from the following verse. Mind becomes Brahman itself means what? Mind does not become Brahman. Mind is, mind being mithya becomes very clear. And mind becomes Brahman means any mithya is nothing but appearance of satyam only. We say wave becomes water means what? A wave was water, wave is water, wave will ever be water. But wave becomes water means wave being non-separate from water. Wave being nothing but water is clear. In having the understanding of wave being the water is what? As though wave becoming water. Similarly, mind becomes Brahman means what? Understanding mind being inseparable from the awareness. Mind being non-separate from awareness. What? Mind being, awareness becoming clear, becomes clear. What? Mind is as though becoming Brahman. Which means you understand the Brahman, the absolute reality Brahma, the Atma, the mind is, Atma alone is Satyam. Other than the awareness, the Atma, the mind is also what? Mithya. Mind is also Mithya. Not only the mind, everything else is Mithya. And mind is non-separate from Brahman, means mind abides in Brahman. When the I sense is resolved in the awareness, I am Turiya Atma. How do you understand that? You have to remember here, what is Anatma? Anatma is Prapanchaha. What is Prapanchaha? You have to, what is, define the word Prapanchaha, universe. How universe is understood in the second chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad. Universe is equal to, what is universe? Vishwaha Virat, Taijasaha Hiranyagarbha, Pragyaha Ishwaraha, all these six constitute universe. This, what is universe? Or you can say, the gross body and the gross objects, subtle body, the subtle objects, causal body, the causal objects, all of them constitute the prapanchaha. Another way of understanding the universe. Another way is what? No. We can say, Pratama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Padas constitute the universe. Prapanchaha, universe, na, the definition of universe. Or you can say, because Turiya Padaha is Atma, isn't it? Three Padas only constitute the Anatma universe. Or you can say, the Pratama Padaha and Dvitiya Padaha, these two Padas are Karya Padaha, effects. Tritiya Padaha is the cause. Isn't it? The causal, you say, cause. So, cause and effect. Tritiya Padaha is the cause. First two Padas are the effects. And therefore, the Karana Karya, that which is of cause and effect, is also what? The universe. Cause also is the universe. The universe is the muff. The cause and the effects are what? The universe. There's four different ways of understanding the prapancha. Now, what is the Atma? Turiya. Turiyaha is the Atma. Turiyam is pure chaitanyam. Turiyam or Turiya Atma is pure awareness. What awareness is? Distinct from the cause and the effect, distinct from the three padas. Turiya distinct from the three padas, and also what now? Distinct from the cause and effect, distinct from Vishwa, Virat, Taijasa, Hiranyagarbha, Prajna, Ishvara. Is it clear? The pure awareness is Atma. The Atma is Satyam. Everything else is Mithya. And here mind is also Mithya. and mithya is nothing but satyam. Mithya is an appearance of satyam. Is there something called mithya which is independently existent? No. Therefore, this understanding is called what? Mind becoming Brahman. Not really becoming Brahman. So he says, tat nishpannam brahm, tat tada brahma nishpannam means, tad means mind. Tada, then, when there's only one thought, to the exclusion of all other thoughts, one thought of Atma. Atma is the object of your thought. Atma alone is. Why Atma alone is? Nihidhyasana. Because Atma is the only object of thought. Only one thought is there in Nihidhyasana. That's what the effort, isn't it? The whole effort is for you to have one thought. And what is the object of thought? Atma. One thought is there. Atma is object of the thought, therefore Atma alone is there. Now all the thoughts are not there, therefore all the objects are also not there. That is when, say, mind abides in Brahman. Manam paramborulil odunguhirathu. When the mind abides in Brahman, we say what? As though mind becomes Brahman. Tada, this mind also becomes Brahma. Brahma nishpannam. Mind becomes Brahman means mind does not become Brahman. Mind as though become Brahman. Mind becomes Brahman means not only the mind, there's everything else that is here is Brahma. The entire anatma prapanchaha is atma. Entire anatma prapanchaha, vishwaha, virat, taijasaha, hiranyagarbhaha, pragyaha, ishwaraha, the causal universe, the causal body, subtle bodies, subtle objects, subtle universe, gross objects, gross universe, everything is what? Atma, mind is also what? Atma. Brahma nishpannam tada. Okay, that's the next one now. He is going to explain it further. The 47th verse is explanation or commentary on the mind becoming Brahman. See, that last portion. Tad stands for mind. Tad manaha brahma nishpannam. Tad tada brahma nishpannam. That line alone is explained in the 47th karika. Swastham shantam sa nirvanam.
Swastham shantam sa nirvanam.
Akathyam sukhamut. Tamam
akatyam sukham uttamam
ajamajena gnyena
ajamajena gnyena
sarvajnam parichakshate
sarvajnam parichakshate
ajena gnyena. Ajam ajena gnyena abhinnam bhavati. Abhinnam, okay? Ajena gnyena means brahmana saha, brahmana, atmana. See, gnyena means the object to be known. What is the object to be known here? Actually, it's not an object here. What is to be known is gnyena. Therefore, here gnyena is what? Atma, Brahman. And the Brahman is of the nature of beginninglessness, birthlessness. And here he says, the mind, we had to supply one more word there. Mind becomes non-separate, inseparable. Mind, no, mind being mind becomes inseparable, one with Brahma. Mind becoming one with Brahman means what? Mind, no, recognizing the fact that mind being non-separate from Brahman is what mind becoming one with Brahman. Ajena jnayena abhinnam bhavati, you have to supply. Mind becomes one with Brahman. Ajena ajam, jnayena is adjective for Brahma. Ajam means Brahma. Ajena jnayena ajam, means what? Mind becomes one with Brahman. Mind becoming one with Brahman means mind being non-separate from Brahman is understood. And which Brahman? There's a description of Brahman, Atma, Turiya Chaitanyam there. That Atma, Swastham, Shantam, Sanirvanam, Akathyam, Sukham Uttamam, Sarvajyam Parichakshate. Mind abides in Brahma. The total attention of the mind is placed in Atma Swarupam. Then Atma alone is, when the external world is not there, because other thoughts are not there, then in that, you know, condition, one recognizes the fact that one understands, one remains with the understanding that everything here is Brahma. And mind also is Brahma. Having understanding is what? Mind abiding in Atma. And which Atma? Swastham. Swastham means the Turiya Atma, the awareness which remains in its own Swarupam. Swastham means that which remains in its own Swarupam. Swatmanisthitam means which exists by itself, which is self-existent. Because where does the consciousness exist? Ask the question. Where does the awareness exist? Awareness exists in awareness. Everything else exists in awareness. Awareness exists in awareness. Isn't it? If it's called what? Swastham. Awareness cannot exist elsewhere, isn't it? Therefore, Swastham, Shantam. Shantam means absolutely tranquil. All the disturbing thoughts exist in awareness, but awareness is what? Non-disturbable, is of the nature of non-disturbable tranquility. What disturbance can be there on the part of awareness? Shantam. Awareness is of the nature of tranquility. Which means awareness is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, awareness, there is no problem of inadequacy in the part of awareness. Therefore, there is no disturbance also. The tranquility. Awareness is of the nature of freedom, limitlessness, fullness. Therefore, it is of the nature of tranquility. Swastham, Shantam, Sanirvanam. Again, see, Nirvanam again means Literally, it means nakedness. I explained this even in my Taittiriyam class, I think. You know, non-coverable is said to be nirvanam. Non-coverable means what? Spatially limitless is non-coverable. So, spatial, that which is, so awareness is all pervasive. Why all pervasive? The only reality, secondless reality, non-dual reality, and therefore what only truth, existence, therefore it is all pervasive. All pervasive, therefore it's unmoving, and that all pervasive, therefore it is spatially limitless. Being spatially limitless is also what? Non-coverable. So being limitless means being free. And being free means what? No. Non-coverable means being limitless. Spatially limitless. And being limitless means being free. The nirvanam, the implied meaning of the word nirvanam is mokshaha, freedom. Why freedom is an implied meaning of the word nirvanam? Not direct meaning. Freedom implies limitlessness. Limitlessness implies what? Spatial limitlessness. So non-coverability is equal to limitlessness. Limitlessness is equal to freedom. Therefore, nirvana means mokshaha. And the sun nirvana means the atma sorupam is limitlessness, mokshaha. So atma, awareness is of the nature of freedom, limitlessness. Nirvana. Akathyam. Akathyam kandavar vindilar. Understand? Akathya means what here? The non-describable. Inexplicable. Words cannot describe akathyam. Kathyam means that which can be described is kathyam. Describable is kathyam. Akathyam na Sri Lankan kathanam, okay? Kathakirudhu irukkudhu illaya? Kathakkappada mudindhal kathyam. Kathakkappada mudiyadhadhu. Nadhuva akathyam. Okay, kathya is the dhatu for your own word. Akathya means, they are very happy because the Sanskrit word is not there, the Sri Lankan Tamil word is there. According to them. Anyway, akathya means non-describable. Which word can you use to describe awareness? What word? How will you describe awareness? Consciousness. Understand? Akathyam. But do you understand what awareness is? Yes. There's a way, isn't it? So awareness is what? Sanirvanam, awareness is shantam, awareness is swastam, akathyam, uttamam sukham. So already we have understood what limitlessness. Now uttamam sukham, it is, you know, experiential pleasure means actually time bound. Uttam sukham means fullness being the very nature of the awareness. Happiness is what now? Very nature of the awareness. Sukham. Because what pain is there for the awareness? Understand? So, awareness is of the nature of fullness, happiness. There's a pain as something called aware, isn't it? So sukham, uttamam sukham. Why uttamam? It is not experiential, that's why uttamam. And sarvajnam. Sarvajnam means, he says, the turiyam, that Brahman, the Atma, the turiyam, is what? Sarvajnam. Sarvajnam, jnam means knowing, illumining. Sarva means all illumining awareness, the consciousness. So all illumining, how it is the awareness which illumines what? Everything through all the minds. All illumining, all knowing is what? The awareness. So all illumining consciousness. Is what? That consciousness is Atma, the Brahman, the non-dual reality. And here, that reality, Atma, Turiya Atma alone is here. And that this mind, now, this is the Atma, which is the object of thought of the contemplator. The one breath, therefore, now, the entire mind, the mind which is in contemplation, abides in that. Awareness means what? If the mind sees, there this person contemplation has this understanding that all that is here is only that awareness, and his mind is also Turiyam, the Atma, the awareness. Iti Parichakshate. Even here carefully Acharya, Gaudapacharya says, don't think I am simply blabbering here. Okay, please try to understand this. If you don't understand, again go back from the beginning, again study and understand this implication. Okay, what is implied here is what? See, this is a fact, understand. If you don't understand, don't lose your heart and don't get confused and don't go for discussion without having understood also. Please, without talking anything extra, start from the beginning, repeatedly listen and listen and listen until you understand. Okay, why? Because I don't say this, mind becomes one with Brahman. Mind being non-separate from awareness, mind being inseparable from awareness, and it becomes very clear. You know, this is who say this? Which awareness? Mind being swastham, shantam, sanirvanam, akatyam, uttamam, sukham, sarvagyam. That Atma is awareness, mind becomes that Atma. Iti parichakshate, I don't say, all our sampradaya with teachers. You know, nobody can claim this. This is what has been being said by all our sampradaya with the teachers who come in this tradition and who have the clear vision and who are Brahmanishtaha and who are Shrotriyaha. No, such acharyas say this. No teacher ever claims this. I am teaching this. Nobody else can teach this. Always they give credit to the tradition. Parichakshate means what? He says, parichakshate is they say. Kathayanti. Who say that? The teachers who come in tradition, they say this. Which means, it is possible for you to see the mind being Brahman. Like how you can very clearly see the wave being water. So also mind being nothing but awareness will be clear. Now, for which you have to resolve the thoughts and their objects. And to resolve the thoughts and their objects, you must have the only object of Atma. Atma is not the object. Atma should become the only object of your thought. For which you need to do Shravanam. Isn't it? Okay. Nakaschid. Now the last one. So the 47th verse, Nidhyasanam topic is over. And the 48th verse, it's Upasamhara Shlokaha. Upasamhara is a conclusion. Now, he sums up the whole teaching in one verse. Actually, I'll do the summary next class, it'll become very clear. Nakaschid Jayate Jivaha.
Nakaschid Jayate Jivaha.
Sambhavasya Navidyate.
Sambhavasya Navidyate.
Yetattaduttamam
satyam. Yetattaduttamam
satyam. Yatra kinchinna jayate.
Yatra kinchinna jayate.
See, nakaschit jayate jivaha. sambhavasya na vidyate. Now he says, the turiya chaitanyam, turiya atma, being Brahman, the only secondless non-dual reality, is revealed. How? By saying that Atma is not the cause of anything. There is no duality at all. There is no dvaitam. There is no duality means what? There is no duality means there is only non-duality. There is only advaitam, there is no dvaitam. Dvaitam, if there is dvaitam, then there can be a karanam and karyam. So Brahman, there is only Atma, Turiya Chaitanyam. Turiya Chaitanyam is what? Turiya Atma. Therefore, Turiya Chaitanyam is not the karanam. There is no cause, there is no effect. So if Atma is the only thing, it is not the cause means, how to say it is not the cause? There is no creation. Creation is not there means what is not created? There is no jivaha. There is no real jiva born. And there is no creation of the universe also. Asya jagataha sambhavaha nabhavati. There is neither the creation of the universe nor is the birth of a jiva really. Birth of the jiva is as though the creation of the universe also is as though there is no real creation of the universe. There is no real birth of a jiva. There is no creation of the jiva or the jagat means there is no effect. There is no effect means there is no cause. There is no cause means Atma is not the cause. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. There is no cause at all because there is no effect also. Atma is distinct from both cause and effect. Karya karana vilakshanam is Turiya Chaitanyam. Now, na jayate jivaha, na asya sambhavaha, asya jagataha sambhavaha na bhavati. There is no creation of this universe also. By negating the creation, by saying there is no creation of jiva or jagat, what is said there? Brahman is not the cause, that is what is revealed. If Brahman is not the cause, there is no dvaitam, there is only Brahman. There is only non-dual reality, Brahman. And what is it then? Yetadu uttamam satyam, uttamam satyam. This Turiyam Chaitanyam, the Turiya Atma is what now? Absolute reality. Non-duality is but absolute reality. What about the duality then? You can talk about now. See, in Prathamapada, which is empirically empirically real, is Vyavaharikam Satyam, empirical reality. The duality obtaining in the waking state is what? Empirical reality. What about the dream duality? In dream also there is duality. The dream duality is Pratibhasikam Satyam, subjective reality. So subjective reality, objective reality, what is absolute reality? Prathmapada is objective reality or empirical reality or relative reality. So dvaitam. And dvaitam in what now? In dream, it's also pratibhasika satyam. So vyavaharika satyam, pratibhasika satyam. Subjective reality. But what is subjectively real or objectively real is not absolutely real, only relatively real. Isn't it? But what is absolutely real is advaitam. Okay, non-duality. Uttamam satyam. பட் அப்சல்யூட் உத்தமம் சத்தியம். எத்திர கிஞ்சித்து ந ஜாயத்தை, வேர் நத்திங் கம்ஸ் இன் டு பீயிங், நத்திங் இஸ் பார்ன், நத்திங் இஸ் கிரியேட்டட், நத்திங் இஸ் பார்ன். Nothing is born means what? If something is born means it should exist independently outside of that. You can say, no, from one water many waves are born. You know, the waves can exist without the water, then you can say they are born. They are created. No. Similarly here also, only awareness, non-dual, secondless awareness, the Turiya Atma, the Turiya Padaha, is what is only absolute reality. And everything else is what? Relative. There is no such thing called unreal at all. There is no such thing called non-existence at all. There is only existence, which is awareness. Turiyam Chaitanyam, Turiya Padaha, and you are that Turiya Atma. That you don't forget that. Don't see three person, third person, then there's no use. Finally, what do you say? Aham, I the self am the awareness, which is the existence, which alone is. Therefore, there is no such a thing called a non-existence also. We can talk about what? Relative reality, objective or empirical reality, subjective reality. But you can talk about, but subjective, objective, the objective empirical reality, the waking duality, and the dream duality, subjective reality, they're all not outside of you. Even the causal duality, you understand, is also not outside of the awareness, the non-dual reality, which is the absolute reality. Om பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம்.